Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome to today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. And they have found the best insurance at the best prices for their customers. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Mark Gaughan, writer for the Buffalo News who covers the University of Buffalo, is going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk about them and what they have. What they have, basically, is, you know, just in a thumbnail for you, is that Joey Licata, their quarterback, is very, very good. He is not a pro quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but you put him in a college game, he's a good college quarterback. Anthony Taylor, very good tailback, very good. Decent receivers, offense that can move the ball, probably one of the top three or four offenses in the MAC. Defensively, though, they've got holes, and you know, and that's the issue that they have. That's the issue they have. Kicking game is okay. Return game's very good. Kicking game, okay. Return game, very good. So, we'll see. But that's what they have. That's a thumbnail on them going into the next game. 800-795-9565. What are your thoughts? Had a lot of calls so far. Well, I'm sure we're not done with that. And any questions that you may have. I know that in you talk about and you go into a season and you go into a season and there's optimism. And I felt very good about what I saw in training camp. I'll make no bones about it. Now, I'm not going to go back and say, oh, I didn't really say that. I didn't really mean that. No, I meant every word I said. I mean, I watched it. And it doesn't mean that in training camp the offensive line was, hey, look, I remember I talked to Dave Revson. He says, they're better. He said, what do you think? I said, well, they're better. I said, but they're not. And I held my feet 2 inches apart. I said, they aren't that much better. I said, they're probably, I held my hands about maybe 2-3 inches apart. I said, they're probably that much better than last year. Just on pure experience and game speed, you should be able to anticipate a couple things that you've had thrown at you before. And they struggle, but it really helped Temple a lot that they played. And this is something that, for those of you who listen to the show, you heard me talk about this 3 or 4 times last week. And what 2 things that I mentioned about Temple's defense? A, they play cover zero, man-to-man, press coverage on the corners, and Matakevich is really, really good at linebacker. Well, he is really, really good at linebacker, and their press coverage, especially Tavon Young, was really good. There was no separation or not much separation by receivers during the course of the game. So now you got to come up with something to do things and mix it up in such a way where you create separation through window dressing, mask it, something that allows you to do it. That's why in the bunch formation, how do you come out of that bunch? Where do you send somebody? Some misdirection to make them think one thing and get something else. But you also have to, at some point, you have to establish a reliable running game. You have to. Because if you establish a reliable running game that they are concerned about, you can then at that point run the football whenever you want, get into a third and short and consider running the football, and you can play action pass off of that and maybe hold somebody because you're running the ball well enough. So those are all things on top of what you see that you have to do. It may be 2015, and Baylor may play video game football, but the running game is still important in 2015, like it was important in 1985, 1995, 1975. You still, in today's game, have to run the football. Is it any coincidence that when Ohio State won the national championship last year, who was the MVP of the college football playoff? Ezekiel Elliott, running back. And they ran a spread. Cardale Jones at quarterback, spread it out, quarterback can run, quarterback can throw. They can play different paces, but in the end, it was Ezekiel Elliott putting together three straight 200-yard rushing games against Wisconsin, Alabama, and Oregon to win the national championship. In today's game, there is still exponential value in an effective running game that makes things work for you. But that does mean not only having a good back, but an offensive line that can get some push and move you off the line of scrimmage. You still have to have that. Defensively, I thought they got a little tired, and also the communication suffered when Wortman went out. There's no question. Wortman, that spot, which was Mike Hull's spot last year, and I've mentioned this several times, that spot is to Bob Shoup what Christian Hackenberg is to, communication-wise, John Donovan. And when you sit there, and for example, James Franklin talked about communication issues. If you are at a basketball practice, one thing that strikes you right away is the noise level at basketball practice. The constant on man-to-man, I got him, you got him, I got him, my man, I got him. You have to constantly talk. Offensive line is the same way. You get up there in the offensive line, and you're pointing out what you're going to do and who has what. And if you have a communication issue, you're going to get a jailbreak. Conversely, on defense, Wortman, as the middle linebacker, has the ability to get them into the right defense. Hull was great at that last year, but Hull will be the first to tell you that Wortman always had the ability to check them off and say, no, 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 no. And I'll give you an example. Remember the interception that Anthony Zettel had against Michigan? Not the Ohio State one, but the Michigan one. Hull actually had them in the wrong defense, and Wortman straightened it out. And then they got into the right defense, and then Zettel dropped into the spot and made the pick. So Wortman was invaluable in that area in communication. The communication then changed when he went out, and it took them a bit to get that, and they suffered a bit in that part when that happened. That's one of the things that's very important. Joe Susan joins us, the head football coach at Bucknell. Won their opener 17-0 over Marist. Joe, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be with you and Kevin.
I was talking about communication on the field. Give me an idea for a coach, the communication that's needed on an offensive line and a defense, and that at a practice, what fans would hear if they were there.
Well, there's constant reinforcement, and obviously the ease of communication is facilitated in practice in that it's immediate. And what we try to do, though, is teach more off video than we do taking the time right after each play to totally analyze each play.
Right.
But there is some immediate communication during practice. And what we do when the offensive line is on the field during a game, the depth in the offensive line is standing by Darnell Stapleton, and they're evaluating on each play. They know each play, as does Darnell, and they evaluate what each player is doing so that they can give him feedback, and he in turn provides feedback to them when they come over to the sideline. We try to stay ahead of adjustments, and if you watch between series, the first thing, whether it's offense or defense, will do is they'll come over and they sit by position, and we'll talk briefly as a staff, then we'll go right to our players and analyze each play, and obviously spending more time and more detail on plays that necessitate any adjustments or plays that we've had problems with. And then we'll talk to them about physical matchups, how they feel. And then we'll get back together real quickly as a staff to are we still on our openers? We actually script a sequence of plays that we want to see, right, in their first and second down plays, and then we actually script our third down so that we have it in priority order. And that can change. It can go from the script into our red zone, so we'll go to the red zone menu. It can go from the script to the goal line. But these are things that we've gone through during the week. I just talked to the team right now about the little things that give you a chance to have the opportunity of the big things and the details of the little things. And our players have bought into it, but every year we get a class of freshmen that have to understand this is how we do things, and some of them haven't had that structure at the college, at the high schools they've been at, and it really helps them, because what it does is it'll teach them the organization, not just of our football program, but of their lives, and I think it benefits that them beyond that. And but the time you have, and you know, people say halftime adjustments, and we did make some halftime adjustments this past weekend. But if you're waiting until halftime to make adjustments, chances are you're behind the game, and you want to stay ahead of the game.
In the context of an opening game, what kind of starting point do you feel you have now?
Well, I'll start with our defense. I think our defensive front has played very confidently, and that foursome of Jimmy King, Ben Schumacher, Abdullah Anderson, and Doug Whitlock, as a combination, is as talented a group as we've had. Now, we've had talented individuals, but as a foursome, those players really pose threats, because they're strong, they're big, but they're very athletic, and that is a plus. Our linebackers really played pretty well because of the nature of the way the game evolved as a passing game. They weren't tested that much in the run game. And then I thought that our secondary, the safeties played well, the corners played better, and it was Brian Reagan's first start as a full-time player, and I thought he did well. And then Colin Jonov, coming off an injury, I thought he did pretty well. And we actually played Brian Marine, who's a true freshman. Offensively, our offensive line got it going in the second half. I thought Julian Davenport played as well as he's, and you expect him to play well. Our quarterback got hit early, and we shored up the protection as it went on, and I think some of that's related to our ability to run the football. And Bobby Kasslender had a good game. Alan Butler, who's a true freshman, really had a good game. And we actually, when Bobby Kasslender suffered some cramps, we put Alan Butler back there on punts. And when you put a freshman back there on punts, kind of cringe a little bit, but Alan displayed confidence and actually made a couple of good plays, which gives him more confidence. And our punter, Alex Peachin, averaged 40. He hit one of 50 that he hits consistently in practice. And I think he's going to be a weapon in terms of changing the field. It's always easier to make adjustments and make improvements coming off 1-0 than the other thing. And what I've preached to them is that coming from New Jersey, you play a lot of pool as a child when you're supposed to be doing other things. But on the pool table, you make your shot, but you're also setting up that next shot, and that's how we're approaching this.
That's Willie Moscone. That was always how he talked about playing billiards. When you can run the football effectively, in reality, how many more pages of the playbook does that open up for you when you can run the football effectively?
It really gives you an opportunity to do what you want in terms of, as a play caller in the past, you always have that next play ready, and you have confidence in that next play. The other thing you do when you're running the football effectively is it minimizes your the requirement you need on third down, and I think that's important. Or you actually bypass a third down if you get six on one play, six on the other, it's first down again. And although I think we were like 6 for 8 for 14 in third downs,
mm-hmm.
which is still
yes.
pretty good, you'd like to be better. But you know, those are things that we can build on. And we were challenged. The Marist front three is a stout and very athletic and big. They're some of the bigger kids we'll play against this year. And they did a very good job. They came in and understood that they played cover zero, which you don't see that often.
Right.
And
that's right.
They were willing to. They were telling us try and throw it deep, and then try to run the ball against this. And this wound up being a loaded box. But we started attacking the open end side, and we became very effective. And then what they wound up doing is starting to guess their pressures, and sometimes they guessed wrong, and we gashed them for a few. And it really makes your play action game better. I thought our play action game to the fullback, and having a fullback like Andrew Hours, who's a true freshman, he's more a tight end than a fullback. That really helped us. And you know, it's those kind of passes that wind up being runs, the early down passes that you're getting. And Marist consistently in the past was not a team that give you the deep ball. So if you are patient enough as an offensive staff to throw balls that are your runs, you keep converting. And those are the things that I think R.J. Nitti will continue to get better with as he grows through the season.
Finally, Joe, you have Duquesne coming up Saturday at 6 at home. Jerry Schmidt's team won its opener. They've always run the ball pretty well with him. They opened up with 373 yards on the ground. The challenge of facing that kind of attack and what they bring to the table when they can open the playbook like that.
You know, Jerry Schmidt and I have grown pretty close in our relationship. You know, we've only played each other twice, but I've gotten to know him, and I respect what he does and really feel he does a very good job with his players. Although they're a spread team, they're going to run it first, and that will be one of our focal points in terms of what we want to do, stop the run. And part of that goes with how we feel about controlling the line of scrimmage. I think the matchup is good there between our front and their front. They don't run their quarterback that much, but he is an athletic kid. And they have some threats on the outside that they'll challenge you with spread formations. And if you're too loaded in the box, then you got to deal with one-on-one matchups on the outside that those guys are pretty good. I think they have a combination of, at times, four skilled receivers that are equally threatening. And part of that will be our ability to, like we did last week, disguise some of our pressures. Our pressures hit home last week, and they're out-man pressures. So if you're six-man protecting or you're five-man protecting, you know, if you're bringing six, we're still playing zone over the top. Not many people do that. There's one-on-one matchups across the board if you're protecting with six, and sometimes a back isn't the best protector in the world, or one of those offensive linemen doesn't match up with one of our guys. But they do a very good job offensively. The only look we have on them is their first game, and it kind of got out of hand right away. I think they scored 27 points in the first quarter, and you know, it played into what they were doing defensively and their ability to run the ball. But I know Jerry does a great job, and the young men that he recruits are primarily local players from the Pittsburgh area. We have quite a few on our team, so they know each other. And it'll be a very physical game, and those are the kind of games we love.
Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday night. Appreciate the time. Good start.
I apologize for my delay today, and Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. I'm used to you on Monday, and I got out of my team meeting, and I saw Kevin's lovely text. I won't tell you what he texted to me, so you can't say that. We'll get
I said it's wonderful.
FCA.
I said I miss talking to you.
You have the sneeze button going there?
I said, I miss talking to you.
Yeah, I miss talking to you, too.
See you Saturday, Coach.
Gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Joe, thank you. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades because they've been able to get the best price and the best insurance for their customers. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring a vehicle that not only has some recreational capabilities, but also has quite a bit of money-making capabilities. The Ford F-250 Super Duty is one tough truck. It's available in the 4x4, available in diesel or gasoline engine, has the 6.7 power stroke engine available in the diesel, and you can get up to 860 foot-pounds of torque, plus a towing capacity of 31,000 pounds and can haul up to 40,000 pounds. Plus, get this, it's not just, you know, a truck that you can use to haul stuff and work in, but it also has a lot of the features you would expect from a sedan or a family vehicle, including the extended cab and super cabs available, so that you have up to 6 spots that you can put people in. Think about that as you go camping, or if you went camping this weekend, think about having an F-250 Super Duty available. You can pack everybody in the front, have the great 8-inch screen with HD radio available, be able to tow everything that you wanted to tow, including a boat or jet skis or motorcycles or, better yet, a camper, and still have room to throw everything in the back and haul it. That's the F-250 Super Duty from Sunbury Motors Ford. You can find them in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Recreation and make some money with it, too.
All right, 800-795-9565. Taking a lot of calls today. It's been a rapidly moving show. I want to get your comments, questions you may have, and we will go forward from there. I'm just anxious to hear what you have to say at 800-795-9565. And you can jump right in whenever you want. After Saturday's game, James Franklin did have his press conference today. And in that press conference, he talked about a variety of things, including, look, they're going to take a long, hard look at the offensive line. There may be some movement of positions. We'll see how the week plays out. He said they're going to put the best 5 guys out there and work from there.
I do like what some of the players did on Sunday after they watched the DVD of said game. When you and I used to call it film, but when you watched the DVD of the game, they went out and buried it. Literally.
Well,
I mean, learn from it and then put it behind you. That was the idea. Learn from it and put it behind them.
Yeah, I didn't have a... I had a baseball game that night, so I was not around when that happened. So I've done that. Now let's see where they go from here. How much did you learn from that? Now what do you take from that, and how do you apply it moving forward? Do you have a better handle now on your communication on both sides of the ball? Do you have a better handle now on how to counter certain situations? I mean, that's, you know, what's happened has happened. Now, how do you learn from it and then take something out of it and make things better? That's how you do. And James Franklin absolutely took ownership of everything today. No question. He took absolute ownership of everything. So, 800-795-9565. Let's go to Brian in Elysburg. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening and for calling.
Yep. Yeah, and I heard they're going to hold the game with you guys on the radio. And, you know, we always turn the TV off and watch you guys, listen to you guys. You better believe it. And let me tell you one thing, Steve. That's the last, I think that was the worst game since when they lost to Toledo at home. And Larry Johnson went nuts in the locker room. And I don't know, was that the game? I know the one game I know Paterno called a bunch of babies. And then after that,
that was the
harassed.
Oh, yeah. guess who he said that to?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that to me. That was in the 1984 Penn State Pitt game. In the 1984 Penn State Pitt game, I was the third announcer, and I talked about asking that general opening question to get a feel about, okay, let's see where we go. And I asked him that question to open up that postgame show in 1984 because that was one of my primary jobs. I do the pregame, halftime, postgame with him and scores of other games, and that's what I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
I get to that, and he jumped right in, and he said, and basically he said, look, he said, they played like a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
Well, and, from that was the last game of that season. They finished 6-5. The team voted not to go to a bowl game. They then went 11-1 the next year, lost in the national championship game to Oklahoma, and then they went 12-0 the next year. But that that game, they had been blown out at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I remember
and they
that.
Had been then they got blown out by Pitt. This is after they beat Doug Flutie in Boston College at home, and they were in great shape at 6-3. And then
they lost that game, I think.
Yeah, and they lost. Yeah. They lost to Notre Dame big, and then they lost big to Pitt, and he was furious.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember the Notre Dame game was like 44-7. I remember that.
I did too. I did the post game in that one too.
Yeah. Well,
you're standing in the old end zone, Brian. You're saying to yourself, "Okay, now how do I open this one up?"
I know, and hey. All I can say is that, you know, Joe always said, you know, you're never better when you win, you're never better when you lose. And hey, things will turn out better. Hey, I'm hoping for the best. And all I can say, if they lose to Buffalo, something's going to happen up there, and it might not be good. But I'm hoping for the best, and I hope they get their things together. And, they have to transfer from Stanford. They should put him in the starting lineup. You know, I know Gaia and Brandon Mann and all them. Put Derek Dally back or whatever. You know, they got to change it up. And, you know, and I never heard of Kyle Carter's name called on the weekend. Like you said, everybody was covered, but, you know, maybe they could try something. But, you know, they never went back to Brandon Polk, you know. And, you know, that's the only thing. Nick Scott never got in the game. They should have tried changes it up. And then, you know, the thing is, real quick, you know, the game was out of hand, like the caller called earlier, you know. Hackenberg was sacked so many times last year, and you want to see the poor guy hurt because, you know, the way seasons are going, you know, you never know. You know, we still might have a chance to go to a bowl game, but, you know, it's so early in the season yet. I know it killed us with Wortman being out. Hey, somebody made a comment about that before. I remember when Divin Still played on special teams, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. That was at the Illinois game when they lost.
Okay, but the reason he's out there on that play is because you're in punt safe. You always play your defense, your number one defense, in punt safe, and that's what they were doing on that play. I mean, Joe did this. I mean, remember that it was a 92-yard punt return that Mark Robinson ran back against Pitt for a touchdown?
Yeah.
Or was it against Rutgers? It was against Rutgers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Yeah. They're in punt safe with the number one defense out there. The reason you have the number one defense out there is because it is a situation that creates that possibility.
Yeah. Well, hey,
right?
Remember,
yeah, that's why you're
know,
in it.
Yeah. And then real quick there, you know, it was back in the 80s. I was still living in New Jersey, and all Rutgers never beat Penn State. Well, Dick Anderson came in and beat Penn State. Well, everything worked out good after that. So, hey, records are meant to be broken, you know. It's not like the old days, you know. Geez, you know, there's more important things in the life than losing a football game, as everybody knows. But, you know, hey, you
understand
know, Steve,
that,
I'm
Brian,
the biggest
fan
around. You know me, Steve.
I know.
You know that.
I know.
I have.
Well, let's
have,
be honest. But, yeah. Brian, that wasn't what anybody expected, though. That wasn't what
That's
anybody
right.
expected. Okay.
That's right. But the main thing is, you know, you win and learn, and, you know, you live and learn. And the main thing is, too, you know, you go out there and play your games. But the main thing is they're going to college, and they get an education in life. Look at all the guys who were there after it. Some of the guys never played big, and look what they're doing really good now. So, but, hey, you know me, Steve. You know I'm the biggest fan around, and I've always told you that and everything. So, and I'll never forget the day I met Joe Paterno in the office, and he knew me when I was back in Jersey, and I talked to him on the radio. And he says, you know, you're something, Brian. You know, you follow us, and you live in Jersey, you know? I said, well, you better believe it, buddy, because of Walter Addy. I'm a Penn State fan, and Walter Addy played back in the 70s with John Cappelletti, and I'm from Roswell Park, New Jersey. Walter Addy was a great running back in the 60s, and he went to Penn State. That's how I became a Penn State fan. So there you go. So that's the deal.
Yeah. Walk could block.
Yep.
Walk could block. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. And, hey, you know, things will work out, and they always will. And, you know, I think they'll get their act together. But if they don't, then, well, hey, something's going to happen. But whatever happens, we always hope for the best. That's what we can do. So you better believe
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Yep.
800-795-9565. Back with more calls in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, welcome back. Final 10 minutes of the show at 800-795-9565. That is 800-795-9565. You like to jump in. ESPN's College Game Day, and we'll continue to talk about Penn State, but we've been talking about it all day today, and you can jump in and we'll talk more. It's fine. ESPN College Game Day, they're doing the pick 'em segment. They're using point spreads.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting. Can't imagine the NCAA is too happy about that.
Well, I mean, it's a reality. It's not.
Right.
I mean, look, I mean, there's certain things that, for example, as you know, I'm not a gambler. I could care less. I have no interest in it. So
never even played a lottery ticket. So yeah, I know that.
I mean, I'm not. But I'm saying I'm not. I see point spreads on games, and the only thing I have always marveled about point spreads on games, college or pro, is whomever's doing this. Wow, they're really good at it. You know,
those half they'll points are tough.
But I'm saying, but they'll say, look, it's you know, they're. 7-point favorite, and the game is right in that 6 to 8 point range. You know, that's what I mean. We sit back and say, gee whiz, these guys are close. Doesn't mean they don't miss sometimes, but they're pretty close. There's a reality to this. It's a reality. And the reality is ESPN does this because they know that there are billions of dollars being wagered each week on college games. Maybe not billions. Let's say tens of millions. How about that? Let's be fair. Tens of millions. There's tens of millions being wagered every week on college football. They know that. So now you go out there and you pick games against the spread with the idea you are catering to a significant part of the audience that sits there and says, yeah, they're talking to me. And that's what they're doing. And is it I'm just saying, I think it's the way of the world. I think that, they see the way of the world and what's going on.
Steve, I wanted to ask earlier, and we had some really good calls, but I wanted to talk about some of the injuries from over the week from Saturday's game. And I guess Coach Franklin had to use up some red shirts that something he didn't want to do. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about where they stand red shirt wise.
Well, Jay Cooper and Manny Bowen are both, I mean, they're not redshirting now. They played. So, I mean, they're in. They have to because during the course of the game, Naeem Wortman White got hurt. Then Gary Wooten got hurt. Now, Wooten came back into the game, but when he got hurt, they had to burn Jay Cooper and get him out there. And Brandon Bell got in and out of the game a few times. And Brandon Bell was banged up, and so Manny Bowen had to play. So they're playing now. You prepare a team in the preseason to play your game all the way through. That's what you do. And as you get then at some point, and I think the cutoff on this was, I want to say August 22nd, 23rd, somewhere around there. That's when you break into scout teams. And Cooper and Bowen, for example, then went to the scout team, and they were doing scout team work from the 22nd up until game day. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not sitting in the meeting room when you're going over your game plan as to how you're going to do things. They're in the meeting room the entire time. They get on the practice field. They run drills with all the other linebackers. But when it comes time to then split into, okay, let's get ready for Temple, they're playing Temple's defense. They were the two of the linebackers playing Temple's defense. That's what you do when you're redshirting. So now, they didn't run a single snap during the course of the week where they were running Penn State stuff, even though they were on the meetings for Penn State stuff, because they were expected to redshirt. And that's standard. That's standard practice. That's how you do things. Well, now, I mean, you didn't expect all the dominoes like that to fall. They both had to play. So now they're in there. And
where does that put your scout team then? Because you'd mentioned, you know, those guys being on scout team.
Well, you put walk-ons on scout team. I mean, that doesn't have the effect of that on scout team is that Penn State had so many walk-ons the last 3 years on scout team that, no offense, they work hard in the whole deal, but athletically don't give you the look that you need. They just don't. And I know everybody loves walk-ons. I love why they're great. They do so many great things. But there's a reason you're walking on. You're not a scholarship guy. Now, some guys are, and they're just misses in the recruiting process. Ryan Kaiser was a huge miss. Well, he ended up getting a scholarship here at Penn State, but he walked on here to do it. And that's where these guys are. I mean, so, yeah, they have to move up. They got to play the varsity, so they're going to have to play there. So they're going to have to get a couple more non-scholarship guys to be the guys that play the linebacker on scout team. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Tommy Stevens is getting invaluable time on scout team throwing against the first team defense. It's invaluable for him. But Tommy Stevens is not taking any snaps to get ready for the game as a game quarterback. He's taking all of his snaps as the scout team quarterback. I know there'll be some people say, oh, now see what happens if whoa. Okay? It's not how it works. It's not the way of the world. All right? You can barely, if the practices run right, you can barely get your third team quarterback a handful of snaps in the week. You just can't because you're trying to get one and two absolutely ready. And that's one, you know, look at the NFL, for goodness sakes. Exactly how many snaps do you think Michael Vick's getting this week? How many? He's there right now. Michael Vick's getting, he has the second team quarterbacks getting a handful of snaps. That's it. The NFL always gears it to what are you doing with your ones all the time. Same thing in college. You try to get two ready. You do everything you can to get two ready. You get the third guy ready through tape, game plan, things like that, but then they have to run the scout team. And Billy Fessler and Tommy Stevens are running the scout team. There's one other quarterback that's helping him there. And that's just the way it is. You only have X amount of time out there to begin with. Practice does not last for 20 hours during the course of the week. They went an hour on Sunday. They're going about an hour 45 today. They'll go about an hour 45, hour 40 tomorrow, and they'll probably go Thursday about an hour and 20 minutes. Walk through on Friday, play the game Saturday. It's the way it is everywhere. That's how things are done today. I've seen it evolve over time. I mean, I've stood there and watched it evolve. After a game like that on Saturday, I think about 20 years ago, Joe would have had what it would have called Bloody Tuesday. Well, it wasn't a Bloody Tuesday for us. Enjoy.